dog friendly. And if you ain't down with that,
we got two words for you.
This is Rothman and Ice.
Plowing forward to Wild Card Weekend. And we all were wrapped up, most of us, in that Charger-Raider game. Good to the last drop. Good to the last kick. And our friend Marcus Mosier, managing editor at the Raiders Wire, is with us now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Marcus, good to have you.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having me on.
All right, before we go forward and handicap and break down the game against Cincy, I need to get the final word on your feeling on whether or not the Raiders' little wink-wink carrier pigeon did not make it over to the Chargers sideline. Do you believe that if the Chargers didn't call the timeout, but the same play was run, same yardage picked up, that the Raiders then would have let the clock just go out for the tie? Or do you believe that winning that game and sending them to Cincy and not Arrowhead was always in Bisaccia's mind?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what was going to happen. So the Raiders were going to run the ball regardless of the timeout or not. The only difference the timeout made is they just changed the play call up. They decided to go with a run that wasn't under center, and it got them more yards for a more makeable field goal. But if Brandon Staley doesn't call the timeout, they're just running a delayed draw out of shotgun, and they were going to let Daniel Carlson kick a 55-yarder. That's really the only difference in this game was how short the field goal was.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation, man. And it's just going to be talked about forever. It was just wild that we even got that close to that scenario playing out. Just absolutely bananas. All right, man, let's look ahead to this weekend. Here in our neck of the woods, Raiders coming to the jungle. Marcus, I've been saying it since this matchup was announced. I think if Cincinnati's going to win this game, they better be able to slow down Mad Max Crosby and Yannick Ngakoue. Talk about those guys and maybe some other guys on that D-line that could be wreaking some havoc up front.
Yeah, we should first say that these teams played, was it 2 months ago? And I know the final score was 32-13 or whatever it ended up being, but that game was much closer than what the final score indicated. Like, that was a defensive struggle for a long time. And then the Bengals scored a couple late touchdowns, but I agree with you. If the Raiders want to win this game, they're going to have to rush Joe Burrow with those two guys. And Crosby's playing the best football of his career, and I expect him to have another big day against an offensive line for the Bengals that's allowed a lot of pressure and a lot of sacks this season.
There's momentum here, right? I mean, even though the Bengals have been playing really good football, you know, they rested their starters, which was the right thing to do, and they're at home. It's going to be a fairly chilly day here in Ohio. And Carr has not been great in sub 38 degree weather, but how much of that just goes out the window with the way Vegas is riding this wave of confidence?
Yeah. I mean, I'm concerned about Derek Carr's play in this game because he hasn't played particularly well over the last couple of weeks. Even the game against the Colts that they won, he threw two ugly, ugly interceptions. So, when it gets to be colder, anything less than 50 degrees, he sees his quarterback drop from a quarterback rating from like a career 95 all the way down to 72. He's just not very good outdoors. They don't really have anybody that can stretch the field. I'm nervous about this Raiders offense.
You know, I've been having so much fun this week looking at these two teams in this matchup. And this question I'm about to ask is, and a sexy one, not a popular one, because of the positions these guys play. But you mentioned the name earlier. Daniel Carlson and Evan McPherson, the kickers in this game, outside with possibly, so obviously some cold stuff, who knows what's coming from the clouds. Talk to us about this guy, because you just said that, you know, they were, you know, content with handing it off to him and letting him kick a 55-plus yard field goal. Believe he got a contract. Like, how much of a factor do you think the kickers could be in this game?
Yeah, if this game is close and we get down to the fourth quarter and the last couple drives, that's when I think the Raiders have a real chance to win, because they have maybe the best kicker left in the playoffs. Daniel Carlson has made 5 game-winning field goals this year. He's got a huge leg. He can make from 56 yards pretty easily, even outdoors. That is one of the big advantages that the Raiders have. I mean, we've seen the Bengals and their kicker woes this year. I mean, they lost a couple games because of their kicker. I can think of the Green Bay game earlier in the season where if they just have a competent kicker, they win that one. So if the Raiders hang around, I think Bengals fans should be a little bit nervous about Daniel Carlson.
So we talked about the cold, Marcus, and I know we're going to put a lot on Derek Carr, and they're going to need him to play a pretty good game to win, although they might be able to ride Jacobs a little more than what people are thinking. He's coming off his best game. And, you know, you look at, you know, the first big part of the season, and now all of a sudden he is really coming on. I'm wondering how much they could put on him for this game. If I go back and look at the Cincinnati game, like you said, the 32-13 game, he only got 9 touches, 37 yards. He's coming off a 132-yard game, and he had 129 yards against Denver, and he's carried it well over 20 times in 2 of the last 3 games. How much do they put on his plate Saturday?
A lot. And we saw him, I think, maybe have the best game of his career against the Chargers in Week 18. 11 broken tackles, which is more than he's had in the last 5 games that he's played in. So I really anticipate the Raiders coming out in this game, wanting to establish the run, and then trying to pick on the Bengals linebackers in this game. I know Logan Wilson is fantastic, but outside of Wilson, and please, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you can get the Bengals linebackers in this one. So I expect a lot of Darren Waller, a lot of Foster Moreau,
yeah.
And that's probably the way they're going to have to move the ball is 10, 12, 14 play drives.
Yeah, you're on it, man, because you go back and look at some of the numbers, you know, George Kittle put up, Mark Andrews put up. Mm-hmm. These tight ends, they have been getting after Cincinnati this year. I want to ask you about a guy that may surprise some people if he pops up and starts to make some plays that with the, over like the last 4 games has been putting out some decent production. Zay Jones outside, because I think a lot of people think Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow, and rightfully so with what those guys can do. But this dude, Marcus, correct me if I'm wrong, he's been bringing some good stuff to the table recently.
Yeah, and the stats don't always tell the whole story, because you can look at his stat lines from the last couple of weeks, and he's had, you know, a game with 100 yards, but other games where he's quiet. But this is the guy that Derek Carr is going to throw the ball downfield to, and he's drawn more pass interference calls than any other player in the league this year. So when the Raiders do take their shots, it's going to be downfield to Zay Jones. I don't think this is a particularly good matchup for him. I think Chidobe Awuzie is a corner that can match up well with him, kind of with his height, weight, and speed. But I think he's somebody that you're going to have to be aware of, because one or two targets in this game down the field could be the difference.
The other part about this, which I think is, I guess, good for the Raiders, is that they've basically been in their own little playoff here the last month, right? They've had to win games.
Mm-hmm.
They've felt the pressure, and they've come up big. They played in a win-and-you're-in game and won it. And so, and they get a second shot against a team that blasted them, at least on the scoreboard. Now, the Raiders haven't won a playoff game in forever. Cincinnati hasn't won a game in more than forever. So you're looking at, 50 years or whatever it's been combined between these two teams on not having won a playoff game. So, but I do give the Raiders a fighting chance in that they've been in playoff mode for a while now, correct?
Yes, and I'm really curious to see how the two quarterbacks play, because this is the first playoff game for both of these guys, right? I think Burrow is probably going to be a little bit more relaxed in this game, just because, listen, he's played in a bunch of big games in college before. Derek Carr really has never done it. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders try to maybe take the ball out of his hands a little bit. But I kind of agree with you. I think this is, you know, they've been playing in some playoff games the last month. I think they're playing with some house money. I don't think anybody thought they'd be in the playoffs. So now that you're here, why not go out and be aggressive and see if you can throw the ball down the field and see if you can take a game in which you're 5-point underdogs? Why not kind of live on the edge a little bit?
Yeah, Marcus, want to zoom out from this game and got to get your feel on the head coaching situation. There's been so much, you know, so much noise right now about Harbaugh potentially having his eyes on the Raiders and possibly the other way around. Maybe the Raiders are interested in him. What's your thoughts on all this stuff going on right now?
Yeah, I think Mark Davis would love to hire Jim Harbaugh. He's got a relationship with him. He was actually a Raider assistant way a long time ago. I think there's a lot of mutual interest there. However, with the job that Rich Bisaccia has done, getting this team into the playoffs, battling back through all the adversity they have, I think it'd be awfully hard to say, okay, hey, Rich, thanks, you did a good job, go ahead and leave. I the players absolutely love him. So we'll see. I think this playoff game will tell us a lot. If it's a blowout and Cincinnati just crushes them, I think it's a little easier to move on from Bisaccia. But if they win or if they lose a close game, wouldn't be surprised if he's back next year.
We've been having a lot of quarterback conversation here involving the Browns the last couple of weeks. Do you think Derek Carr is still going to be a Raider next year?
I would be shocked if he's not. Okay. Now, the only thing that I would say is if they can get a clear-cut upgrade, and when we mean clear-cut upgrade, we're basically talking about Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, right? Those are the only two guys that are out there potentially that would be an upgrade over Carr. So unless they do something like that, I fully expect Derek Carr to come back next year, probably on a new contract, and finish out his career here.
All right, well, then I'll ask the last question off that one, and I'll say this kind of tongue-in-cheek. How about the Browns and Raiders just swap quarterbacks? How would that be for you?
I don't think the Raiders would be very happy with that. They really enjoy Carr. Listen, here's the thing with Carr. The play is a little bit up and down, right? Like, there's some games where he looks really good, other games not so good, but the thing that everybody agrees with is he's the leader on this team. When John Gruden left, he was the guy that was standing up in front of all the reporters answering the questions about him leaving. He's the guy that's planning some of the meetings before games. Like, he is the face of the franchise, and that's why I have a hard time believing the Raiders would ever move on from him.
Good stuff. Marcus Mosier, our friend, managing editor of the Raiders Wire. Covered a lot there in that combo. It was really good. Thanks, Marcus. Enjoy the game.
Yep, thanks, guys.